This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, Anna, you rode your bike into the studio today, into the building. You're very athletic, right? I know, no, because you're a runner. Right?
That is true.
Okay.
There is a distinction between athletic, though, I think, and active. Yes. But I was the kid who got picked last in school every single time.
So there's an element of skill involved in athletics.
There's an element of skill involved in athletics that I think is difficult to achieve if you're naturally born horrible at them.
And why are we talking about athletics today on a music show?
On a music show, because you would be surprised, Felix, or maybe you're not, but perhaps others would be surprised about how connected they are, music and sports.
And they both involve discipline. They both involve focus. And you have to spend a lot of time practicing to achieve successes and meet your goals.
And you have to be a person who is inclined to not get distracted by other things.
Which leads us to our guest this week.
Eladio Carrión, he is a hip-hop artist, rapper from Puerto Rico, but originally born and spent a lot of his childhood in the U.S.
And we talked about athletics because he was a competitive swimmer for 10 years in his youth.
This guy, I mean, he is like the epitome of focus. He is like, you can read athlete all over his attitude, his face, his energy, the way that he applies himself to music is like, that feels recognizable.
And our show this week is about that focus of being an artist, that focus that it takes to be an athlete.
And you know what's so interesting about that too, Felix, is we started by talking with him about how he used sports as this tool to explore himself. And we see how he does that later as a musician. I mean, like we mentioned, he spent time in the U.S. and then moved to Puerto Rico. And I love to say that he is not a Latin hip-hop artist, but rather a Latin and hip-hop artist. And I think he does that with his music because he's getting to know himself every time he makes a record. And he says the same thing about sports.
Team sports are fun, but I encourage everyone to do solo sports because solo sports are really important to really get to know yourself, because it's not the same telling yourself, okay, my goal this year is to win a championship this year with my team, because anything can happen. Another player can get injured or whatever, but swimming, golf, track and field, all those sports that are individual sports, it's all about you. It's you against you, you against the watch. So that's why I loved it so much too. It's very important to challenge yourself, and individual sports really give you a chance to challenge yourself, you know, help you reach new heights.
I'm so glad you said that, because I'm a fencing dad. My two sons were fencers, okay? And the oldest one fenced competitively all the way into college. So I learned, I was a team sport kid when I was a kid, certainly not as an adult, right? But one of the things I learned about watching them grow up through fencing was that the other part was like how to lose and what you learn from that.
Yeah, exactly.
And, right?
Because in losing, you will find the trick or what you need to do to win. People don't see it that way. Like, people say, oh, I lost. No, but in that loss, you just got to dig deep into it. You're going to find the answer because of how you lost, and you're going to win next time. You know, if you lose like 3 times in a row and then something's wrong with you, you got to step your game up.
See, what I found super interesting about everything you just said is you were like, with team sports, anything can happen. But like, in any sport, anything can happen. Like, do you feel
like... Yeah,
like
when it's individual sports, you have more control of the outcome. Because if you're a runner, if you're a swimmer, when you walk into that pool, onto that diving block, you know what you're going to do already because you trained for that. Like, you know if you slacked, you know if you did a good job in training, because you at that, when you're an elite athlete, you know your body already. So it's that. Because like in sports, you know, in soccer, there's too many variables. There's too many players, you know. What if that guy didn't train enough? What if this guy didn't train enough? What if this guy mm-hmm. didn't, you know, wake up early in the morning? Wait, maybe, what if he partied last night? There are too many variables. When it's in like an individual sport, mm-hmm. only relays, you know, and it's only four people. And like, and y'all are locked in. Like, y'all train together. You guys, you know, it's different.
And that stood out to me too, because like, for example, with my kids, and I'll go back to my kids for a second, they were part of a team. They were part of a club, right? But it is an individual sport. And it's very much like being a musician and what you do, exactly what you do, because it's your musical vision. Your team are the producers, the musicians, everybody that you're touring with, all of that stuff, your team. But it's still an individual sport, man. It's still you. Yeah, it's still your vision. It's still your name, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but listen, the way I see it, like, you walk out on stage, and if your bassist partied too hard last night, like, what are you going
to
do?
But you know what's crazy? Like, right now, to be honest with you, like, my shows are very well known because it's a very, me and my fans show. I don't have dancers. I don't have bass players, guitar players. I don't have a band. It's me and my DJ. So, like, my DJ, you know, he's a father of three children. Like, they're all older. Like, he's not going out partying. He's resting. He's going to sleep at 9 p.m. You know, he's a very responsible guy. So it's very
reliable.
Yes, very reliable guy. And even though, like, music, it's you know, if I mess up like a word, you know, it's I'll just dance around. You know, they'll sing the song with me. You know, but like I said, like I like to keep things very safe, you know, not having a band keeps things very safe, you know, not having dancers, even though some shows may need it, but maybe in key parts, but like, you know, I keep my stuff simple. Simple, simple, simple.
Not every dad is reliable. You should see how Felix parties.
Oh, are you kidding? Oh, man. I was just going to say, man, if you could only see us on Zoom out there in Radio Land or Podcast Land, I'm like, what do you mean? What's wrong with the reliable dad, man? Come on.
No, but thank God, you know, my team is very reliable. Like, you know, I go to sleep at night, you know, like a baby every night, because I know when I'm not thinking about stuff, everything's still running because I have other people think brainstorming about stuff, you know. So, like, my team is amazing.
So the other thing that interested me is your fascination with golf right now.
Oh, bro, I'm going to be the best in the world.
Again, an individual.
Yeah.
Again, an individual sport, right?
Yeah, bro. Like I said, like, I love being in like I don't gamble. Like I don't. I like seeing my money where it is. Like, I like very, you know, simple and just straightforward things. Like, golf is very straightforward. Like, if you sit down and practice it, you're gonna get good at it. I don't have to depend on anyone except for myself and my talent, you know. And that's, it's practice. Everything, like, one thing I've understood, because I've done everything, I've done comedy, I've done sports, I've done everything. Everything is practice. Work, everything. Everything you do in life is practice. And what separates the good from the mediocre is how much you practice. Talent is always going to be outrun by practice, always, any time of the day.
If you're not working out, your competitor is.
Yes, exactly. Right. And it's not even your competitor. Like, you know, it's like, it's with yourself. Yeah. You're battling with yourself, you know, to wake up every morning, go to work, do this, do that. It's a battle with yourself at the end of the day. It's not even your competitor. It's with yourself. El cartero llegó sonriendo, me dijo que yo coroné. Le dije una pa' que le dije que tal si lo hacemos otra vez. Me dijo, pues claro, cabrón, ahora ese cabrón tiene un paté. Si la calle llama, yo lo voy a coger. Tú me conoces, eso es nada nuevo. Le di un beso en la frente a mi mujer. Le dejé un par de pesos encaletados por si no llego. Sabe que estoy ice, frío, hielo. Llego al bloque y me...
I mean, I'm hearing a lot of threads here, though, where you're like, you're talking straightforward, safe, like reliable, controllable. Where do you think all that comes from for you?
Okay, in swimming, I got a good idea of putting, you know, making goals and seeing results. And there was like a formula to that. And when you have that formula, you know, it applies to other different things. And it's, and the formula is simple, man. Simple and easy for me. It's that. You know, making things that are simple, that are easy to understand, that you know, people are always going to love it. And, like, it's going to be easy for you to do it also. But, yeah, I'm a very, you know, it's not like I'm not a risk taker, because in my music, I take risks all the time. But in that aspect, in sports, I love to keep it simple, you know, and just easy to understand.
Why do you like the formula? What does the formula get you?
Results. And swimming, the formula was, you know, eat, sleep, and swim. I didn't go out. I didn't do anything, you know. In music, my formula was, you know, 15-hour sessions. Not seeing the sunlight for 3 days, just locking in and then just being a studio rat. My formula is work and practice. That's my formula.
Let's go back a little bit. And when did you make that transition and be able to apply your formula and your discipline and your focus to making music? Because you must have been listening to music as an athlete, right? As a swimmer.
Yeah.
Maybe getting psyched up, you know, putting stuff on your headphones or whatever. Like, when did you make that transition? What was that like? And how did you do it from listening and then apply that same discipline and goal setting to making music?
I really didn't even, like, notice it, because it was already, like, a mindset that I already had. Yeah. Like, it's already, like, it's sort of, it's a chip inside my head. Like, you know, like, okay, I want to be the best at this. What do I have to do? Okay, how do I get there? Where am I standing at right now? Okay, it's there? Okay, let's go there. So it's that part, you know, the brainstorming, the planning, the organization, all that just transferred to everything I did in life. Everything after swimming. Because I retired at a very young age. Like, I was 18, probably 19 when I stopped, you know, taking it seriously. But probably didn't see a lot of money off of it, but it really gave me something better than money.
You moved around a lot as a kid, right?
Yeah, I moved. I've been in, like, probably 5 states, maybe.
Were you swimming during all of that?
Actually, no. I did all the other sports as a kid. You know, I played baseball. I did, you know, basketball, football, soccer. I did every sport known to man. And right when my dad was retiring from the Army, we were in Alaska, and maybe, like, the last 2 months we were there, I picked up swimming. So, but it was a good thing, because it's not like I was doing football, and, like, when we were to move to Puerto Rico, there weren't going to be any football programs. Like, in Puerto Rico, there were a bunch of swimming teams. It's an island. So it was perfect. So, like, when I left Alaska, I came to Puerto Rico, and, like, I was blessed to finding a really good team, like, off the bat, a team from Humacao. I had an amazing coach from the get-go, and it was just uphill from there. Like, I started swimming when I was, like, 9, and I was already on my first on the national team when I was, like, 12, probably.
Before you moved to Puerto Rico, like you said, you've been moved all over the country. Was your family able to keep a Puerto Rican culture going in the home? So that, how different did it feel to live it on the island once you were there?
No, it was, you know, I was never prepared for it, because I never thought my dad was going to retire that soon. I was 10, you know, I was like, one day we're leaving. So I didn't really know that much Spanish, because on base, there was, like, even though, like, the Latino kids, like, their parents didn't even teach them Spanish that much. They didn't know that much Spanish, so we were speaking English. But the culture was always there. My mom, you know, the food. They would always, like, to see the boxing fights. We would see the boxing fights at our parents' house. They would always come over, the other Puerto Rican families. You see the Tito fights, to see the Ruiz fights, all them. So, no, I always got, like, a very good grasp of what the Puerto Rican culture was. So it's very easy for me to fall in love with it.
So what was going on musically when you arrived in Puerto Rico? I would just, doing the math, it was probably reggaeton was probably exploding.
Yeah,
like,
bro,
that,
like,
right?
That Yankee just, that was 2005, bro. I can't appear in 2007. That was after Gasolina hit. We seen they were popping. Hector y Tito, that was popping too. Like, they had popped already. And reggaeton was at its peak right there, 2007. But I really never had, you know, plans of doing music. I just enjoyed the music. I remember really having a mad respect for, you know, for Hector the Father, because he had a song with Jay-Z. And for me, like, not knowing Spanish, you know, seeing him do something, I was like, okay, that's crazy. We see him dead when they did a song with 50 Cent. That was really big for me, too. Because at that time, I was actually, you know, learning how to speak the language. So those songs, you know, helped me out to speak the language. And I'm seeing soap operas, too, that helped me out. And more because, like, at that time, like, they were, like, really explicit. I would sing stuff, and I would not know what it was, like, it was. And my mom would tell me, hey, yo, don't be saying that stuff over here. We have people here. Don't be singing that stuff. So you're saying this, and that. It's like, oh, snap, I'm sorry, Mom.
We'll be back with this interview with Eladio Carrion right after this.
Do you ever wish you could get your stories in 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? Or maybe you're sick of doom scrolling, getting your news in bits and pieces. That is where Embedded comes in. We bring you documentary series that will change the way you think about things. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
And we're back with our interview with Eladio Carrion. Being that age and arriving in Puerto Rico, not speaking the language, like, you must have felt, like, I don't know, did listening to music like reggaeton help you, like, connect with the other kids a little bit, too?
It was hard, you know, coming, like, I had to go to bilingual school off the bat, because when I got there, the first week, it was horrible, because, you know, I didn't know Spanish, you know, kids weren't nice and stuff, you know how kids are, but, I think the thing that really, really got me into making friends and stuff was the fact that I didn't care. I would speak Spanish, like, how I would speak, and, like, and it helped me because they would, you know, correct me. Like, the people who don't speak fluent Spanish and live in Puerto Rico is because they're scared to speak it, you know? Because if you speak it, even if it's wrong, they'll little by little, you know, correct you, and you'll learn little by little.
When you arrived in Puerto Rico, what did you arrive with? What were you listening to on the mainland? Because you said the reggaeton was popping, but what had you been growing up with and what was on your playlist?
I was on Eminem, 50. Who else was I listening to? Maybe I was on, you know, Fabulous, all of them. I was a hip hop head, mom. I was on Biggie, Tupac, Nas, all that. Because my sisters, they're 10 years older than me. So, like, I was hearing what was popping at that time, plus the music they like, you know, Mobb Deep, all those, you know, hip hop. So I was coming on that, but I did also appreciate reggaeton music because I would come to Puerto Rico every, you know, once in a couple years, and there was a channel in Puerto Rico called Video Max. It's like an MTV that they would put like all the new music and stuff like that. And I would listen to it, you know, and I would catch a vibe. Quiere Coco Chanel, Louis V. Bottega. Yeah, la puse en 69, no la mega. Ese culo tan lindo y tú con novio, baby, eso no pega, baby, eso no pega. Chingamos con mi prenda puesta.
Fast forward to when it came time for you to start really working with and making your own music. What was going through your head as you were thinking, like, okay, I grew up and I had some of this hip-hop in my life, I had some reggaeton in my life. Like, what made you go in the direction you went in?
I think my background musically, is, like, it really gave me an edge up on the, like, from the other rappers because, like, I really grew up listening to the same things they did. Plus, I have a crazy hip-hop background. Plus, you know, in my house, they would listen to everything, all types of music, you know, rock, this and that. I have a very musically rich background when it comes to what I used to consume as a kid. So when I came into music, I came into, you know, with a different approach. Because when, like, unconsciously, when you listen to so, like, much music from, like, I listen to everything. I know punk rock. I know screamo, everything. Every type of genre you can imagine, I know at least a little bit, maybe. But I think that really gave me the edge, because when you come into the booth with, like, unconsciously, with that much information musically, you know, it helps, you know, find different flows, different cadences, different, you know, ways how to say stuff, you know, different punchlines. So that really helped me a lot.
You know, it's interesting to me because Felix and I interviewed an artist. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's called Sima Funk. We interviewed him a few months ago now, and he's one of the few artists that I think is kind of doing what you're doing, but in a different way. He does, like, Cuban, like, Afro-Cuban beats mixed with American hip-hop, and does this really interesting kind of, like, exploring both parts of his lineage, both parts of his blackness through kind of blending these two different genres. And I feel as though, in many ways, what you do is similar. Like, your build is kind of like Latin hip-hop, but to me, you're really, like, doing Latin and hip-hop.
Hip-hop, exactly.
I wonder if that's something you feel... Yeah, like, do you feel like you're representing two lineages in doing that?
Yeah. Like even when trap, I never really wanted to be in music until, you know, trap music started booming in Puerto Rico. Because I said, okay, here I could do something, because that's my stronghold. But at the end of the day, you know, I love doing music, because before I would only do trap music, but I have my reggaetons, I have my dance halls. Like, little by little, I would recognize how, at the end of the day, it's just music and how to represent the best way you can represent your culture. I think I've been, you know, demonstrating that the past years, you know, I could do a trap album, but in the trap album, there's going to be at least, you know, maybe two songs that are like Afrobeat, reggaeton, to not let people forget that we're Puerto Rican. Ever since I started music, I always wanted to, you know, to build a bridge between, you know, the Latino community and the American community. Like, I really wanted to build that bridge. That's why my last album, you see that, the song with 50, with Wayne, with Future. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always going to be trying to do featurings with, you know, with American artists, but the right way. So, you know, people will keep on doing it, and, like, we'll keep on building that bridge between us. Because at the end of the day, you know, Puerto Ricans are very, very present in hip-hop. Very, very present in the beginnings and the everything. Mm-hmm. So... it's our duty to keep that alive. Solo mami el cartero, carro sin tablilla, vestido de negro.
Mis diablos todos son de fábrica sin ser pepero. You arrived in Puerto Rico when reggaeton was, like, having its moment. Like, was that not appealing to just do straight ahead reggaeton? Like, why did you decide not to do that?
Nah, because, you know, I'm such a hip-hop head. You know the reason why? Because as a kid, I was always a person who really listened to lyrics, who really, you know, sat down, like, and said, oh, who did this beat? I was making those questions at, like, 7 years old, 6 years old. Like, who did this beat? Like, I had a very, like, you know, very cool questions as a kid, you know. So, like, the reason why I didn't jump into reggaeton, you know, because I really didn't understand what the artists were saying. I couldn't relate to the music. It was just, like, super cool. Like, I would hear it. I said, oh, wow, that sounds super cool. Like, but, like, I couldn't, like, it was not until later, maybe, like, I was in eighth grade, that I could really appreciate what, like, people were, like, saying and, like, in full, you know, the metaphors and all that stuff, the rap. So maybe it was because of that. But I was always inclined toward hip-hop and rap, you know. Because I would be in Puerto Rico, you know, but I would still be telling my friends from the States, hey, yo, burn me a CD and send it to me, like, so, like to see what's popping over there still. Like, you know, keep me up to date. I don't want to lose contact, you know, whatever. Because, so, like, I will always be inclined towards hip-hop.
Between kind of, like, the mainland U.S. and Puerto Rico, where do you feel most at home now?
Oh, Puerto Rico, like... I live in Puerto Rico. I'm never, like, you know, I got respect for the states, you know. I was raised there. What about Puerto Rico, man? That's my safe spot. Like, that's where I go to rest. Like, when I'm on the road here in the States and in Europe, I don't feel like I rest. But, like, when I get my 2 days, my 3 days in Puerto Rico, that's gold for me. Like, anytime I get a chance to go to Macao, my hometown, to just touch down in Puerto Rico, I'm going to take that chance because that's home for me. I'm living Puerto Rico till I die. I'm never moving. Le gusta el dinero, discoteca y los carros alemanes. No quiere amor, no está en sus planes. Quiere Cristian Dior, no tulipanes. Somos por los puestos, por eso pegamos como imanes.
Well, that was fun.
I gotta say, it was a lot of fun talking to him about sports, about individual sports.
Oh, he just lit up.
Yeah.
I was so fascinated. I was just like, but why do you want to win so bad, dude? Where does that come from, that desire? And I have to imagine, like, moving around so much, you need to find something to really focus your energy on, you know?
Probably a little bit of that, and also the idea of goal setting. Once you start setting goals and you achieve that first goal, and then the next one, and then the next one, it becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a passion. That's the drive.
No, he's so aware. He's so aware of the connection there. And I think he's really aware of himself, you know? Like, he's figured out his formula, right? Like, this is what I need to do to, like, get where I want to be. Like, he's figured out, like, what makes him happy. He's like, I was doing comedy to make myself happy. Like, he's figured out, you know, he said he's really in touch with his body because he's with the swimming. You have to know what's going on with your body. Like, he's kind of, like, he's a pretty well-adjusted dude, Felix.
Which accounts for why he's having the success he's having in his music.
Mm-hmm. Now we just got to get you more disciplined, Felix.
Disciplined on my walking. Once my knee gets taken care of, okay, I might.
I'm inspired.
I'm inspired. No, I'm inspired.
I'm kind of inspired too. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I can feel it. And I can also feel that it's time to bring this show to a close.
You have been listening to Alt Latino from NPR Music. Our editor is Hazel Sills, and the woman who keeps things on track is Grace Chung. Our audio producer for this episode is Cher Vincent.
With additional production support from Isabella Gomez Sarmiento, our production assistant is Sofia Seidel.
And our jefe in chief is Keith Jenkins, VP of Music and Visuals.
I'm Say Your Name. I'm Felix Contreras. That's what it says here on the screen.
And I'm Ana Maria Sayer. I know. I'm looking at it. That wasn't what that... I didn't need an explanation. That was me giving you your stupid look.
Thanks for listening. Leave it in.
I think we leave that in.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
The following message comes from NPR sponsor, Sattva. Founder and CEO Ron Rudson is on a mission to bring quality sleep to more people.
Health and wellness are so tied to quality sleep. And I'm trying to tell everyone, look, you have to treat sleep like an activity because I believe sleep is the most important thing in your life.
To learn more, go to SAATVA.com/NPR.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.